May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. My hometown in Yorkshire is Driffield, which is known as the capital of the Wolds. The Yorkshire Wolds are an area of low chalk hills that in the summer are just covered with fields of wheat. The writer Winifred Holtby, who was born in the area, described the Wolds as fold upon fold of the encircling hills, piled rich and golden. Traveling through the area in the summer, you are surrounded by fields of yellow wheat. Occasionally, however, you pass a field that also has weeds in it, usually thistles. My grandfather, a farm worker, would shake his head and recall as a young man having to separate the thistles from the wheat after the harvest, a nasty and potentially painful task. So the parable of the wheat and the weeds created a familiar picture in my mind. I could imagine Grandad and his fellow workers debating and deciding how to handle the prickly intruder, just as the slaves and the householder in the parable did. The weeds that Jesus is talking about are probably actually not thistles, but something called bearded darnel, a weed that is common in the Middle East and tends to be found in wheat fields. Jesus's audience of mostly rural dwellers would probably know it well. There is actually a record in the civil law of Jesus's day of the crime of sowing weeds in another person's field. The thing about darnel is that it looks just like wheat until both plants mature. Then the wheat head starts to droop, but the darnel head stays upright. Not until that point, when it's too late to pull them out without uprooting the crop, is it obvious that the weeds are there in the field. Last week's gospel reading was also about sowing seeds, some of which landed on a path or on rocky soil or among thorns, but some of which fell on good soil and bore fruit. Father Goodhart pointed out that at different times in our lives, we may be different kinds of soil. In this week's parable, the seed was sown on good soil, but there are weeds in it. Even in the times of our life when we are good soil, and we hear and receive God's word and bear fruit, the enemy is still trying to trip us up with weeds. And we don't always see them until it's too late. The field in this week's story is almost ready for the harvest, but it's far from perfect. At the harvest, there will be a drastic sorting out, but until then, both the wheat and the weeds must be left to grow. Destroying the weeds is less important than letting the wheat grow. Matthew's message to his disciple community is about life in a time of kingdom waiting. The parable of wheat and weeds is instruction to them that in the fullness of time, God will come to gather the righteous children of the kingdom and separate out the weeds, the children of the evil one, who will be burned in the furnace of fire, according to Jesus. But until then, wheat and weeds are together in the field. As Christians, we acknowledge the presence of evil in the world, a force that works against what is good and what is God. This force goes by many names: Satan, the devil, Beelzebub, Lucifer. Jesus calls it the evil one. In the baptismal liturgy, we refer to it as all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God, or the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God. The weeds represent what is wrong in the world. It is good and right for us as Christians to resist and stand against that, but it matters how we do so. Sometimes, when we try to right what is wrong, we provoke a response that can destroy us as well. While we recognize at baptism, the very beginning of our life in Christ, that we are constantly confronted by weeds, we also recognize that no matter how intent we are on following our baptismal vows, we will never completely avoid the corrupting influences that lead us to go against the values of God. So we are anxious to root out the evil that we see in the world. But Jesus, as he so often does, is telling us to rethink our human reactions, to cease chasing after the bad and concentrate on the good. While evil may eventually be redeemed, the redemption may not happen in this world. And in any case, it's not for us to judge. We don't have to be in the judging business. That is for God. Just as Jesus' parable includes a warning about the danger of precipitous action in the face of evil, Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome also suggests that this is a time of waiting, of letting things grow and unfold. But it's also a time of looking forward to the end time. We live in the not yet as we wait for the coming of God's kingdom. In different ways, Jesus and Paul are talking about the breaking in of God's rule on earth, the fulfillment of the hope that we express when we pray that God's kingdom may come and God's will be done. We wait in hope for something not seen, but something for which we yearn along with all of creation. Paul's advice is to focus on the coming of God's kingdom and by implication on our role as co-creators of that kingdom. We must put our trust in the will of God through the power of the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of love and grace. This is the inner transformation that marks us as children of God. And as such, our obligation is to the new world in which the Spirit has put us. Those who, by calling God Father, enter God's family, are transformed in such a way that our former world is no longer our home. Back in the third chapter of Genesis, after Adam and Eve have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God tells Adam that because of this disobedience, the ground is cursed and will bring forth thorns and thistles to challenge his efforts to cultivate it for food. Jesus' image of the wheat field full of weeds thus represents the consequences in the world of human disobedience. All of God's creation has suffered because of human perversity. But Jesus and Paul are assuring us that in time, God will restore the violated creation to its original goodness. God in Christ came to save not individual humans, but all of creation. And so we wait in hope for the fulfillment of our inheritance as God's children. This inheritance that we access through Christ and the power of the Spirit is one of both blessing and suffering, wheat and weeds. Paul says that the Spirit is the one who bears witness to the fact that we are children of God and joint heirs with Christ. The Spirit helps us remember our place as children and claim the inheritance that is ours. It is not yet, but it is sure. At a time yet to come, the whole ravaged creation will be loved back into wholeness, and God will reign. But for now, the world continues to deal with suffering and death on an unimagined scale. The coronavirus pandemic has revealed a lot of weeds infesting our previously perceived perfect field. The weeds of racial and economic injustice, exploitation, inadequate health care, and general social dysfunction are now glaringly obvious, no longer hidden in the golden wheat of our privileged lives. We Americans have been shaken. Our affluent and outwardly secure little corner of God's world is not what we thought it was. We now have a heightened awareness of the unease, shakiness, and uncertainty of our condition, which is, of course, the human condition in general. And in that, we are not alone. The question is, knowing as we do that we find ourselves in a complicated world where good and bad are inextricably entwined, how are we then to live our lives? Well, it's not our job to decide who is wheat and who is weed, who is saint and who is sinner. That is up to God. We just have to get on with the mission that Jesus has given us, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, sowing the seed, and letting God worry about where it lands and how it grows. When we encounter what we see as evil, we want to find the source and destroy it. But in today's parable, Jesus is turning us in the opposite direction, pointing us towards concentrating on the good rather than chasing after the bad. In the conventional wisdom of the world, this seems a little crazy. Presiding Bishop Michael Curry often reminds us that following Jesus frequently does make us look crazy to the rest of the world. And former Presiding Bishop Catherine Jeffords Shorey wrote, "As children of the Most High God, we are made for the beloved community, the reign or commonwealth of God. We are a magnificent part of the whole of God's creation, and as human beings, our vocation is to partner in the transformation of this planet toward that ancient and eternal vision of a healed and reconciled existence. Our tradition has long called that vision the divine dream of shalom, a community of peace and justice where all God's created parts live together in harmony." In this time of pandemic fear and social and economic disruption, we must look always for opportunities to nurture the wheat instead of using all our energy to tear out the weeds. Opportunities to feed the hungry, house the homeless, tend the sick, and comfort the afflicted are pretty easy to spot nowadays because the needs are so very great. As Jesus said, "Let anyone with ears listen."